Good morning and happy Sabbath, church. How many of us are happy to be here this morning? I thought I would see every hand. I've just seen a few hands go up. Maybe you didn't hear me clearly. How many of us are happy to be here this morning? Yes. God has been good to us. He has allowed us one more time into his presence. And it's not because we are good, but because he's good. And we just want to thank the Lord for that. Today we'll be talking together. I'm not going to preach, but we'll talk. And when I said we'll talk, it's plural, we'll talk. Hopefully. I'm not going to do this by myself. I know the Lord will help me. But as I said, the Lord said in Isaiah 1:18, come now and let us reason together. So today we are here to go through the word of the Lord, and his spirit will be our guide. Before we do so, let us pray. Eternal God and our loving Heavenly Father, again, Lord, we just want to thank you for your goodness, for your grace, and for your mercy that you have extended to us. You have kept us safely throughout another week. A week, loving Lord, many began, but they are not here today. And for this, we give you thanks. And we also want to thank you, Lord, for the hope that we have in the promises that you have given us in your words. One, that you will never leave us, and that you will never forsake us. And that you will be with us, excuse me, that you will be with us at all times. So even now, Lord, as I stand before you and before your people, I ask that you will remove self, and that whatever I speak will only be motivated by your spirit. Pray that you will open the hearts of your people, open their minds, that as they hear your words, and as we hear your words, dear Father, that we will desire to do your will. So we ask that you will speak to us. We ask that your spirit will live in us and through us to will us to do of your good pleasure. We pray all of this by the power of your spirit, and we ask it all in the name of your perfect Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen. Today our talk will come from 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And we'll be talking about a king, as Brother Bart spoke about a king in the children's story. This king, King Jehoshaphat. We would not have known of Jehoshaphat unless we read 2 Chronicles or 1 Kings. And the Bible said Jehoshaphat was a good king. And we know that he's not good in and of himself. But it's because of his love for God and his desire to do God's will. And as he began to do those things, his heart began to change more and more towards God. And it is the same for us today. When we love God and desire to do his will, and as his spirit works in us, we love him more and we become changed. One of the greatest lessons in scripture is that God's people do not have to fight their battles alone. And for that we should say amen. Many believers today face battles, and I don't think any one of us who are sitting here this morning hasn't faced any battles in our lives. Some are facing it even now. What are some of the battles that we face today? We have financial struggles, family difficulties, health challenges. So many of us, especially as God's people, facing health challenges. But we know that God is able. Spiritual warfare, uncertainty about the future. This chapter teaches us how to respond when we are outnumbered and overwhelmed by whatever we face in our lives. And we know that we serve a God who is able. Do we believe that God is able? Do we believe that God is able?
Amen.
Sorry about the language barrier.
That's okay.
But I know that God is able. And because I know that and because we know that, we should not have to be afraid of anything.
Amen.
There's so many times God said in his word, especially to his servants, be not afraid. And why? Because God is with us. And in this chapter, we will see that we have no reason to fear. And even when fear comes, it is what we do with it.
Yes.
And we'll begin 2 Chronicles chapter 20 at verse 1. I don't know if it's on the screen. And as I said before, King Jehoshaphat, the Bible said he was a good king. And he was king of the southern kingdom of Judah. His father was Asa, and he began to rule after his father died. And he started torn down a lot of the groves and altars that was set up because they were worshiping idols. And now we know that there are two kingdoms. We have the northern kingdom, and we have the southern kingdom. Jehoshaphat was the king of the southern kingdom. And even though he was a good king, he made bad choices. And one of them we know, well, one of them the Bible said, and you'll find this in, if you go back to chapter 19 and chapter 18, you can get his story and his father's story. But it goes on to say that he went and made an alliance or a deal with King Ahab, king of the northern kingdom, which we know, or we should know when we read it, that Ahab was not a good king. And when you read his story, you see how conniving he was, just like the devil. But King Jehoshaphat, good intention, but that it was his intention. That was not God's plan for Jehoshaphat. And for us as God's people, many of us, we have good intentions. And we go and do things without even consulting God and allow God to say yes or no. But however, he went and he made that alliance with King Ahab. King Ahab wanted to go to war. And he asked Jehoshaphat to come with him. And Jehoshaphat, he did the right thing. He asked him, isn't there a prophet, you know, that can seek from the Lord for us? And King Ahab said, oh, there's plenty of prophets. And he called them up. And they all said, yes, go into battle. And Jehoshaphat was saying, isn't there a prophet of the Lord? So that should tell us something. Those prophets who came before wasn't of the Lord. But King Ahab said, sure, there is one, but he never tells me what I want to hear. And he even goes as far as to say, I hate this man. But anyway, Jehoshaphat said, send for him. And he came and he told him what the Lord said. Jehoshaphat still went into battle with King Ahab. And before they went into battle, I remember in the lessons study this morning, this week, they're talking about garments. And garment is significant, especially for God's people. Before Ahab went into battle, he took off his kingly attire and he dressed just like one of, you know, his soldiers. King Jehoshaphat still wore his garment, his kingly raiment. And when he went into battle, the enemy saw him and thought he was King Ahab, because they had no idea that Jehoshaphat would have been there. He almost lost his life. But because of the mercy of God, even though he made a bad choice, God still extends mercy to him. And for us today as God's people, we made bad choices many times, but we are still here today. That should help us to also to understand that God is merciful, but we should not take his mercy for granted.
Amen.
You know, as the Bible said, God is not mocked. You know, and whatsoever man soweth, eventually he will reap it. But anyway, God spared Jehoshaphat's life. And King Ahab, who went into battle under disguise, he was killed. And as I said, you can find that story in chapter 19 of 2 Chronicles. But as we read from verse 1 through 3, I guess it's off the screen again. Is it on the screen there? And it came to pass after this also, and after this also, he's talking about the previous, what went on in chapter 19. The children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them others beside the Ammonites. So these are the armies that joined forces together. They came to fight with Jehoshaphat. Now, these are three different nations come up to fight against one nation. So you know that he's outnumbered on every side. And this is the king of Judah, which is, you can say he's a Christian because he belongs to God. But the forces that came against him, he was outnumbered. In our lives, we face so many different things at times. We are outnumbered or we are overwhelmed. So we are no exception because we belong to God. As a matter of fact, it is because we are of God why we face many challenges and many difficulties. But when Jehoshaphat heard the news about the battle that is coming to him, it says that the first thing, fear came. How do we feel when we face uncertain situations or circumstances in our lives? Do we fear or do we just face it head on? I don't think we do. If anyone can say, there's no fear, I just take it as it comes, something is wrong. You know. But Jehoshaphat didn't allow his fear to cause him to make the same decision that he made before, a wrong decision. But this fear caused him to seek the Lord. As God's people, whatever causes us to fear should not cause us to run from the Lord. Amen. We are to run to him because, as David said, he knows where his help comes from. It comes from the Lord. Amen. So, the trouble or the trials may be big, but God is bigger. The circumstances may be great, greater than we can bear. But God is greater. And if we allow him to live and to work in us, we have no need to fear. Amen. Jehoshaphat heard of the great multitude, and he feared because he knew that he was not able to withstand what is coming. But he ran to the Lord, and we know that the Lord is able to do all things. Fear is natural, is a natural response to difficulties, difficult situation. It is not unnatural, but it is what we do with the fear. So my question is to us, what are some of the things that fears us? You can think of it. You know what caused you to fear. What do you do when these situations arise? What should we do? And if we read this chapter, we can learn many, many principles to life. Amen. The difference between victory and defeat is not whether fear comes. It is what we do when it comes, because it will come. Jehoshaphat turned his fear into prayer. So for us, as God's people, when trouble comes, one, we should not be afraid, should not get panicked. And even if we do, we must remember that God is with us. Don't quit. Don't run from God, but we must run to God. Jehoshaphat called for He called the people, the congregation, not just the prayer. Not just the prayer. But he said, we need to fast. How many of us fast, you know, since the beginning of the year? Whether as individual or as a family or even as a church. Fasting is very important to a Christian life. Jesus did it, and he was without sin. And Jehoshaphat called a fast. When you go back to the book of Esther, you saw that when they faced that situation where the nation was about to be wiped out, being the queen in the kingdom, it's a call for a fast. So we see that fasting is necessary. Jesus explained that there are certain things that they could not do, the disciples could not do, except without prayer and fasting. So that is a lesson for us. When we are facing overwhelming situation, we should try fasting and prayer and see what God can do. Jehoshaphat proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. He didn't say, okay, those who are in the kingdom, come and let us fast. But throughout all Judah, throughout all the kingdom, men, women, children, families, everyone sought the Lord together. And that is, there's a power when we seek the Lord together. It is good when one person pray, but when you pray together, the family, there's a difference.
Amen.
Jehoshaphat prayer teaches several different principles. One, remember God's power. And in order for us to remember God's power, we would have to experience God's power before. And Jehoshaphat began to say, in verse 5 and verse 6, he said, are you not God in heaven? Jehoshaphat began to focus on God, not on himself, not on the situation. Too often we focus on the size of our problems, the strength of the enemy, or whatever we have to face, the uncertainty of tomorrow. But if God is with us, and if we know that he's with us and he's able, we need not have to worry about the problem that we face, the uncertainty of tomorrow, because God holds the future in his hand, and he holds us in his hands.
Amen.
So instead of us focusing on the trials or the thing that comes before us, our focus should be fixed on God and what God can do, not what he will do, because we don't know what he will do, but we know that he can deliver. We saw the three Hebrew boys they went in. And they said, whether God deliver us or not, but we know that he's able to. And they stood up. And God didn't deliver them from the fire, but he delivered them through. And many times we face fire trials in our lives. God will deliver in one way or another. Even in death, that's deliverance. Because he said he will put many of us to sleep in order for us to make it to the kingdom. So we see that we serve a good God. Number two, remember God's faithfulness. And he's praying because he have had some experience. And he have read of past experience of what God had done for his children. So Jehoshaphat recalled God had done in the past, what God had done in the past. Faith grows when we remember God's provision and victories. When you face certain situations in your lives and you can look back and remember what God had delivered you from, it should be much easier for you to say, God, I know that you are able because you have done it in the past. Amen. And God said, he does not change. David, we saw the story of David. When David about to face Goliath, he first proclaimed, there was a lion that came to take the sheep, and I slew him. And a bear came, and I slew him. And he talked about this uncircumcised Philistine, as big as he was. Our fears at times can be as Goliath. But as big as he is, our God is bigger. And David demonstrated that. And now Jehoshaphat is saying, the army that is coming against me, I'm not able to face them. But I know that you are able to face them and to fight for us. So you see, God's power is revealed when we acknowledge our weakness. Jehoshaphat realized that these armies who join forces is no match for them because he's outnumbered. And he did what a Christian should do. You run to the one who is able to keep you. It doesn't matter how small the situation may be. It doesn't matter how great it is. God is saying, lean not on your own understanding or your own abilities. But he said, you must trust me in all things. Sometimes most spiritual prayer is, Lord, I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you. That is what Jehoshaphat said. He really didn't know what to do. And at the same time, he knew what to do. He knew that he couldn't face them. There was too much for him. But he said, Lord, our eyes are on you. So now he's taking his situation, his problem, to the Lord. And he said, I'm going to watch and see what you're going to do. Because I am yours, and they are coming against me, and I cannot defend myself. So he trusts the Lord to fight his battle. And for us, God is saying, let me fight for you. So many times as Christians, we fight battles or we carry things that God did not ask us to. We took it upon ourselves. We took it out of the hands of God and said, I want to do it. I will do it my way. But the lesson that we are to learn is that if God fight our battles for us, we will never lose. Amen. We saw the day when Israel said, God, we don't want you to be our king anymore. We want a man to go out in and out before us, like the other nations. No, that is an insult to God. But God still granted their wish. And God was so good that he said, you don't know what you're asking for, so let me tell you. What you're asking for, this man, He's going to take your daughters, and he's going to take your sons, and he's going to take the best of your crops. And when they hear all of this, they said, look, we still want him. Now, if you're a farmer and you're asking for help, or you want a loan, and you went into the loan officer and said, I need a loan. And he said, look, if I give you a loan, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to take your sons, and I'm going to take your daughters, and I'm going to take the best of your crop. What will you do? There we go. Because what he's telling you that you won't have anything left. As a matter of fact, I'm taking more than what I'm giving you. So we see that whenever we try to fight our battles on our own, we are actually giving more than what we're receiving. But when God fights for us, we only gain. Before Israel get that king, they've never lost a battle. But how many battles did they lose after they have what they asked for? God's words are here for us to teach us lessons that we don't have to go through the pain when we make decisions on our own. He's saying, trust me, and I will fight for you. Do not be afraid, he said. When Moses got to the edge of the Red Sea, the children of Israel were crying, you brought us out here to die. Moses didn't say, okay, arm yourself and let's try and defend ourselves. He said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Moses didn't know what God was going to do, but he knew that God will deliver one way or another. And he stood there and God told him what to do. And he just obeyed. God wants to speak to us. He wants to speak to you. When the Israelites gathered at the foot of Mount Sinai, God said, gather the people because tomorrow I'm going to talk to them. When God began to speak, the people said, no, we don't want you to talk to us. Just talk to Moses and we'll hear what he said. God's desire today is to talk to individuals, is to talk to us personally. So when you go home or when you're in your car or whatever you're doing, remember that God still wants to talk with you. And Jehoshaphat recognized that this battle is not his. And he went to God and he said, look, I am unable to face them. And you have given us this land. You have driven out all of these nations to give us this land. And now a coalition of armies is coming towards us. And I'm unable to face them. So I'm coming to you because I don't know what else to do. So I'm going to keep my eyes on you. And as I said, he went in and he didn't call a council people and said, what should we do? But he called the people to pray. He called the people to fast. And as I'm saying, many of us as individuals in the church, we face so many challenges and we try to take it on ourselves. But we are a family. This is God's church and we are God's people. He never said, do it by yourself. But sometimes we keep it to ourselves and we get overwhelmed. And sometimes it causes us to walk out on God. Not just to leave the church, but walk out on God. You know, because we're overwhelmed. But God is saying, come to me. As a family, there are things that we can share when we pray and seek the Lord And we know that God will deliver because the world is looking on. And they are saying, if they are facing, if they are struggling that way, and they have a God who they claim is big enough and is powerful enough to take care of them, and if they are behaving like that in their trials and in their difficulties, why would I want that God to be my God? You know, in the Ten Commandments, commandment number 3, God talks about, you should not take my name in vain. It is not only about just speaking, but also our actions. Because if God is our God, and he said, we are not to be afraid, we are not to be fearful, but then when we face difficulties, our action says something about the God that we serve. If we are fearful and if we are murmuring or crying, that tells us that I guess he don't have anyone to help him. But when we do, like Jehoshaphat, then those who are on the outside, and even some of us on the inside, can gain courage and to know that God will take care of his own. The story of Jehoshaphat teaches us 5 powerful lessons. Number 1, when fear comes, we must seek the Lord. Not if it comes, but when it comes, we must run to God. Number 2, we don't know what to do. Many times we face situations we don't know what to do. Like Jehoshaphat, we must fix our eyes on God. We should never forget that our only support, who will never fail, is the God that we serve. So don't let our difficulties, don't let our problems cause us to forget. Because once you do that, there is no more hope. Because you have to reach out to God.
Amen.
Because he's reaching out. We saw with Peter. Peter said, Lord, if that is you, tell me to come. And Jesus said, come. And he walked out and he was walking. But when he turned and saw the wave, he began to sink right away. But his first word was said, Lord, save me. He didn't go down on his knees and make an elaborate prayer. And he said, immediately. Jesus didn't say, hold on a minute. He said, immediately, he saved him. So when our problem comes, the first thing we must do, Lord, save me.
Amen.
And he will. Number 3, remember the battles, or the battle belongs to the Lord.
Amen.
Never attempt to fight it on your own. Never attempt to ask someone else to help you to fight it. Always remember that if you belong to the Lord, your battle belongs to the Lord.
Amen.
And he will fight it. Not with you, but he will fight it for you. 4, worship even before you see the victory. If you're going through health problems, financial problems, whatever it may be, when you go to the Lord and present your situation before him, we must thank him for what he will do. Because he will do something. He will never leave you on your own. But he will do something. There is no one who has ever called upon God and never received an answer.
Amen.
Trust God to fight for you. Trust God to fight for us. Because the only way God will not fight for us is if we are trying to fight for ourselves. And if we know that we belong to the Lord, whatever the battle may be, we are to take it to him. In Isaiah 42, it tells us that when the water comes, it will not overflow you. When you go to the river, He said, nothing will happen. He said, when you go to the fire, he said, nothing, the flame will kindle upon you. And we saw that with the boys in the fire furnace. So God will do what he said he will do. If we do what God said, God, because he's not man and he cannot lie, he will have to do what he said. We go all the way to Daniel chapter 12 and he talks about in verse 1 when he said, you know, when that time come, Michael will stand up. But if we are not allowing ourselves to let God deliver us now, when that time come, do we think that we're going to allow him to stand up for us? We have, in the past 5 years, we have gone through that, one of the most, I would say in the last maybe 20 years or so, where disease is concerned. That pandemic, and that is why Jehoshaphat looked back on his life and saw what God has done. If we look back and see, when my greatest fear came, what was my reaction? However we respond then and onwards will be the same way we're going to respond. So it is a daily thing. Each day, the small trials, we must give it to the Lord. Not only the big ones, because if we don't give them all, when the big ones come, we're going to be overwhelmed. And we're going to try to get the water out of the boat by ourselves. That is what the disciples were doing when they were going across. Jesus was in the boat with them. And the wave came and beat in that ship. And these are fishermen. So they knew what a storm was. But they have never experienced one like this. And the boat began to sink because it was taking water. What do you do when your boat begins to sink? You try to take the water out? So you're working up yourself to death. Because the only one that could save them was Jesus. And he was right there. And it took them a while after they do all that they can. You know, when you take on your struggles by yourself, you do all that you can, you exert energies, you cause others to feel pain, you cause yourself to feel unnecessary pain. And then some of us, when we're lying on our deathbed, we call on the Lord. But he's saying, it doesn't have to be that way. And when they finally remember that Jesus is in the boat, somebody going to wake him up and say, hey, don't you care if we die? Fear sets in. No one said they were going to die. But based on what was happening, they said we're going to die. Jesus was asleep. And that is the peace that he promised that he wants to give us. Great peace are they that love the law. And if we continue to study the word of God and to allow the Holy Spirit to lead us and to cause us to surrender daily, that peace that Jesus has when he was in the boat, we will have it too. But on a daily basis, we have to daily trust and daily surrender. So when the big tests come or the small tests come, our lives will be a testimony to others of the God that we serve. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for your constant goodness toward us. We are undeserving. But Lord, you cannot help yourself because your love is constant. But the day is coming when your mercy will linger no more. We saw that in the days of Noah, when you told Noah to get in the ark. And when you closed that door, dear Father, the people who were on the outside did not know that there was no more hope for them. Let it not be the same for us. Help us as your children to get in the ark before you close the door. Father, we thank you for the assurance of not only your presence, but your protection. We thank you to know that you are the God who wants to fight for us. Teach us how to learn to let you fight so that we can gain that victory. We thank you for this, your holy Sabbath day. I pray, dear Father, that you will come and live out your will in us today. I pray that you will keep us as you go through the remainder of this holy Sabbath. May we never forget, dear Father, that we are still on your holy horse, and may the things that we do may gear only to lift you up and to magnify you, because you deserve even more than we can give. So, Lord, we thank you again for your grace and for your mercy, and I pray that your words that as went out today, that it will accomplish that which you desire for it to. May we not only be hearers of your word, but may we strive to be doers, so that we might be able to enter into the gate, into the city. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.